So for the first time in, you know, many years, I just had a technical problem. There we go. First time ever, actually, that this failed for me right here. So.
Trust in the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. So in case you hadn't noticed, today's theme is salt and light. You know, and following upon the teachings of the Beatitudes, you know, when Jesus talks about our interior life, he now uses the familiar metaphors of salt and light to describe a life of discipleship that is more externally focused, maybe. We take salt and light for granted in our society, but these commodities were more precious in the ancient times. You know, just as now, salt was used in Jesus' time for flavoring, as a preservative, and as a healing agent. And similarly, the widespread use of electricity in the modern world makes us less aware of the value and importance of light in our lives. And still, our familiarity with this passage from Matthew's Gospel speaks well to the long-lasting power of this imagery that Jesus has presented to us. Jesus' call to be the salt of the earth and light for the world powerfully states our mission as church and as Christians. Our commitment to social justice flows from the exhortation that Jesus gives us in today's gospel. Following the words from Isaiah, you know, when we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, console those who mourn, and so on, we show ourselves to be salt of the earth and light of the world. When we do these things, with the community of faith, the church, we are indeed acting as a city set on a mountain that cannot be hidden. And so it is our goal as a community here to be presence in Charlottesville and to bring our light to our neighbors, to act as that city on the mountain. And I think we do this throughout the year with our food ministries, Potsham, Impact, and other ministries. We also do it through our individual acts of adding a pinch of salt to our world, if you will, the flavor of God's love, by simple acts of kindness and love to the world that's deeply in need of them. You know, Pope Francis is seeing the church today, though, as it can live closed in on herself. It can be paralyzed with fear and all too distant from the problems and sufferings of its local neighbors, thus keeping it from being the true flavor to modern life and from offering the true light of the gospel. The Pope's response to this, you know, has been to encourage us to go out to the fringes of the society, to the poor and to the marginalized, to the other, you know, both corporally and personally. Francis insists over and over, I prefer the church that is bruised and hurting and dirty because it has been out on the streets rather than a church that is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security. I do not want a church concerned with being at the center and then ends up being caught up in a web of obsessions and procedures. You know, the Pope's call is directed to all Christians. You know, we can't calmly sit inside our churches with passive hope. The gospel always invites us to run the risk of meeting face to face with the other, the ones who are different. He wants to introduce into the church the culture of encounter, convinced that what our church needs today is the capacity to heal wounds and to warm hearts. So while we may be having an impact here, how do we as a community and individuals think we are doing in the way that Francis described? You know, today's gospel and readings can give us direction in our calling to minister to the world, and that we aren't to allow our gifts of salt and light to become inert or hidden. The Pope exhorts us to encounter the fringes, and as Isaiah and Matthew in 25, verse 31 through 46 tells us, we need to engage the world with works of mercy. Those actions, that salt and light, that show the love of God are far more to be believed and accepted than any of our words of evangelization. People care more about the heart and the hands and the feet of Christ more than they do about Christology, the meaning of atonement, what sin is, what the cross means to us, and the value of sacraments. As a reminder, we find salvation for ourselves precisely in the measure in which we bring God's life to others, not in our knowledge. The point is that as followers of Jesus, we are meant to be salt, which effectively preserves and enhances what is best in the society around us. And we, as salt, can also undermine what is dysfunctional in the surrounding culture. We can act as a caustic agent against evil in the world. Now, a friend who was raised Catholic, as many of us do, who is no longer Catholic, and he's now a Zen Buddhist. And I asked him what his objection to Christianity was. And he said something I'll never forget. He said, "I don't have a problem with Christianity. I have a problem with Christians." And his objection boiled down to two things. Our desire to make disciples of all nations, which from Matthew 28 is our call, but it's how we go about that that he objected to. And he objected to the hypocrisy of many Christians he had known. You know, the distance between our words and our actions was far too great for him. You know, he saw us there in our Sunday best, and then he saw us on the weekdays, and those were not the same people. I can see that also because of what I just said, but also because I think we depend on our own power in evangelization and works of mercy, you know, and we forget what Jesus and Paul remind us of today. And that is, whatever good works we do not do on our own power. And neither is it for our glory. The power is from God, and the glory is to God. So at some point in homilies like this, I tend to give a little disclaimer. Mostly because my wife is in the assembly. And some of you have known me for many years. And they know how poorly I live out, you know, this calling just to pinch a little salt on the world. But that doesn't make the calling on the or anything less true. You know, we do fail, but we continue to try. And also, I would be remiss to not address the other issue that came up for me when I was preparing this homily. You know, what if you think at this point in your life that you don't have any salt or light? What if you feel like that you're overwhelmed with your own troubles and don't have anything to give? Well, to address that, I want to remind you how salt is formed. You know, one method is via evaporation. That's where the sun beats down on the salt, the brine, you know, day after day after day, you know, for days on end. And there's no way for the salt to escape. Another method is the salt is the until it's boiled away, of course. But the other method is salt mining, in which the salt is chipped away from the earth. You know, and a third method uses steam heat to extract the salt. And all of these methods extract the salt from its surroundings. You know, the salt is not made without stress of some sort being applied to be freed up to be used elsewhere. And so it is with our lives. Our salt is made during those times. During those times of stress, times when we don't always see the process we're involved in, all we feel is the pain of letting go. So for those of us in those times, remember to look to Christ, who is our light. You know, our city on the mountain, and the person who gives the flavor back to our salt. As we try to give salt and light, to try to become salt and light and a beacon of hope to the world. You know, and as time passes, he will bring you through it, and then we can start looking out at the world again. For the world needs the love of God brought by our actions. The world needs healthy Christians to minister to a dysfunctional world. Amen.